Tonight is the book of James, chapter 1, and I want to focus our attention on verses 5 through 8 of James chapter 1. But I do want to back up and start the reading at verse 1 of James chapter 1. So James chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1, and before we hear God's word, let's pray together once again. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the scriptures which make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. From the scriptures this evening, we pray, O God, that you would fill us with that wisdom that comes from above, that we may know and do your will and serve you with all of our heart and live by every word that comes from your mouth. Cause us, we pray, Father, by your Spirit, to be doers of your word and not hearers only, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of James, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is the word of God. I want to focus our attention this evening on the last four verses that we read. We've already covered verses 1 through 4 in a previous sermon, and so tonight I want to cover verses 5 through 8. These verses are about wisdom, and more specifically, they are about how to obtain wisdom if we lack it. And each of us lacks wisdom. To some degree or another, each of us lacks wisdom, so we need to know how to obtain it. Before we look at what James teaches us about how to obtain wisdom, it would be helpful, first of all, to know why we need it. Why do we need wisdom? And secondly, we need to know what wisdom is. What is wisdom? And so in the first place, why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom in order to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, to use James' words in verse 4. That is, we need wisdom if we are going to reach the state of perfection, the state of glory, which is what James has in view in verse 4. Without wisdom, the prospect of entering heaven is unobtainable. Apart from wisdom, we cannot remain steadfast under testing, which is necessary to obtain the crown of life, glorified eternal life in heaven. So how important is it for us to have wisdom? There's no hope of salvation without it. You see, James is not talking here about the kind of wisdom we might need, for example, to make a right decision about a career opportunity at work or about the purchase of a new home or something along those lines. Those are important matters, of course, but they are not matters of eternal consequence. And we should pray for wisdom whenever we are making important decisions like that, but that's not what James is talking about here in chapter 1, verse 5. James is talking about the wisdom needed to become perfect and complete in the eternal state of glory in heaven. And it's important for us to read verse 5 of James 1 in context. And the context is about obtaining perfection by remaining steadfast under trial. God uses trials of various kinds to test our faith and thereby produce in us patient, steadfast endurance through which we shall be brought into a state of perfection at the end of the world when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. James writes in verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Now that's the state of glory. That's the state of perfection. we shall not be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, until we have been translated from the realm of earth to the realm of heaven and receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Verse 12. And to receive the crown of life, we must remain steadfast under trial. We must endure the test of faith. And what do we need to do that? We must have wisdom in order to remain steadfast under testing, because without it we shall not endure, but shall be deceived by the evil one. And that's why we need wisdom. That's what James is talking about here in chapter 1. And that's why James immediately turns to the subject of wisdom, specifically how to obtain wisdom, after talking about the testing of our faith and the hope of being made perfect and complete in the state of glory. Look at it again in verse 4. James says, "Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God." If we lack wisdom, and we all do to some degree, we need to know how to obtain it, because without it, there is no hope of being made perfect and complete. That is, there is no hope of entering heaven apart from the kind of wisdom that James is talking about in verse 5. So that's the first thing that we need to know to understand our text, the reason why wisdom is needed. Secondly, we need to know what wisdom is. What does James mean by wisdom? In chapter 3 of James, he tells us what he means. He provides his own definition of the term. Now, we should also bear in mind here that the way James uses the term wisdom is not necessarily the way that that term is used in other literature. The definition of wisdom that one might find in a dictionary, for example, is not going to help us here. The definition that James himself provides is what we need to know in order to understand the meaning of our text. And James gives us his own definition of wisdom in chapter 3. James chapter 3, in verse 13, James says the following: "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Now, James mentions here two kinds of wisdom. And the two kinds of wisdom are contrasted with each other in terms of their respective origins, their characteristics, and their outcomes. In terms of their respective origins, one is from above and the other is from below. One comes from God and the other from the devil. Verse 15, James says, "This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic." And then verse 17, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable," and so on. So there are two kinds of wisdom: divine wisdom and demonic wisdom, or to use other terms, true wisdom and false wisdom, pretended wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above comes down from the Father of lights. It is a divine gift, a good gift, a perfect gift, which orders us to perfection. Now, that's the kind of wisdom necessary to remain steadfast under testing and obtain the state of perfection, the state of glory. In chapter 1, James tells us how to obtain that kind of wisdom. But there's another kind of wisdom that James warns us about. It's not the wisdom from above. It's not heavenly, but earthly. It's not of the spirit, but of the flesh. It's not divine, but demonic. This is not the wisdom, James says in verse 15, that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. So this wisdom is demonic. It's serpentine. It's the kind of wisdom that came from the mouth of the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. And it's the kind of wisdom that controls the thoughts and actions and lives of the children of the devil, the friends of the world. The mind of an unregenerate person is governed by this earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. The mind that is set on the flesh is ruled by it. This false wisdom is not wisdom at all. It's foolishness. It's folly. But the world regards it as wisdom, and it regards the wisdom of God as folly. Paul teaches that in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Now, the contrast in James chapter 3 between these two different kinds of wisdom is an absolute contrast. They have absolutely nothing whatsoever in common with each other. In fact, they are completely contrary to each other. They are antithetical and indeed antagonistic to each other. The way of divine wisdom is the way of righteousness. The way of demonic wisdom is the way of the wicked. The two kinds of wisdom are contrasted in terms of their respective origins, but they are also contrasted here by James in terms of their manifest characteristics. The chief characteristic of the wisdom from above is meekness or humility. The chief characteristics of demonic wisdom, on the other hand, are bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Now look again at how James puts it in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. The wise and understanding person is the one whose life and conduct and works are characterized by the meekness or humility produced by heavenly wisdom, the wisdom from above. Meekness or humility is the chief mark of true wisdom. If we are governed by that divine wisdom, then we will be humble. We will humble ourselves before God, as James tells us to do in chapter 4. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, James 4:6. So divine wisdom leads us to do just that. It leads us to humble ourselves before God. If our lives are governed by divine wisdom, they will be marked by wisdom's meekness, its humility. And they will also be marked by good works. Again, verse 13, James says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So if we are living according to heavenly wisdom, others will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Divine wisdom is simply this. It is knowing and doing the will of God. It is living by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's divine wisdom. Divine wisdom enables us to discern between good and evil, and it enables us to reject the evil and to do the good. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus Christ defined wisdom in terms of hearing and doing his words. Now, here's what Jesus said, and this is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. We heard it earlier in the service. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, hears and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. See the contrast between wisdom and folly. He will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, that saying of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is the background of James' teaching in James chapter 1 and James 3. James tells us that to remain steadfast under trial, to endure testing, to remain steadfast and endure testing, we must have wisdom. Now, in the parable of Jesus, who is it who remains steadfast under trial? It's the wise man. He's the one who built his house on the rock. And when the trials came, to use the words of the parable, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, it didn't fall. The wise man remained steadfast. His house did not fall. And why didn't it fall? Well, because he was a wise man and he built his house on the rock. Those who hear the words of Christ and do them, hearing and doing, are the wise ones who endure testing. They stand the test. They patiently endure. And without that kind of wisdom, we cannot endure the testing of our faith and will not obtain perfection in the state of glory. So what must we do? We must obtain wisdom, and James tells us how to do that. Now, we'll look at that in just a minute, but first I want to finish looking at the contrast between divine wisdom and demonic wisdom that James outlines in James chapter 3. James says in chapter 3, verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic." The chief characteristics of this false wisdom are bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, verse 14. Now, Satan's own actions, his own rebellion against God, illustrates that very clearly. Satan was driven by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition when he rebelled against God in heaven. Satan was jealous of God. He was bitterly jealous of God's honor, and he wanted to exalt himself above God, to place his throne above the throne of God. Satan's heart was filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, and he said in his heart, quote, "I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God." Isaiah 14, 13 and 14. You can see his bitter jealousy of God and his selfish ambition. That's the kind of jealousy and selfish ambition that characterizes the lives of all those who are governed by the demonic wisdom, the wisdom of Satan. And that, of course, is in direct contrast to divine wisdom, which leads us to humble ourselves before God. The wisdom from above sets our minds and affections on things that are above and leads us to humble ourselves before God that we may obtain those things that are above, that we may be exalted and translated to the realm of glory. But the wisdom of Satan, on the other hand, does just the opposite. It produces in the hearts of those governed by it bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, which in turn produces all sorts of evil. James says in chapter 3, verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice, every wicked practice." Divine wisdom, on the other hand, produces a very different kind of fruit. It has a very different outcome. Verse 17 of James 3, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." These are the fruits of divine wisdom, the wisdom from above. Verse 18, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." This harvest of righteousness refers, no doubt, to the glorious harvest at the end of the world. It refers to our being translated to the realm of glory. Now, the list of virtues here be produced by divine wisdom is reminiscent of the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and also is reminiscent of the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And perhaps it's easier now to see why wisdom is necessary to reach the state of perfection. James is not talking about wisdom in some sort of generic sense, but he's talking about the divine wisdom that produces in us the fruit of meekness, humility, purity, mercy, righteousness, and so on. Without that kind of wisdom that comes from above, there is no hope of salvation. Without that wisdom, we shall not remain steadfast under testing and shall not receive the crown of life. When Adam, tempted by the serpent in the garden, listened to the voice of the serpent, and his heart was filled with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, he did not endure the test. He sinned against God. He disobeyed God. He ate the forbidden fruit. Adam did not remain steadfast under testing. He did not, therefore, receive the crown of life. He didn't endure. He didn't remain steadfast. He didn't persevere. When Adam acted on the wisdom of the serpent, he acted on that demonic wisdom, that serpentine wisdom that came from the mouth of the serpent, and ate the forbidden fruit. And when he did, he became a friend of the world. And any friend of the world is an enemy of God, James 4, verse 4. Now Christ, in contrast, as the new Adam, did remain steadfast under testing. When Christ, the new Adam, was brought into conflict with the serpent, just as Adam was in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, and tempted to sin against God, Christ acted in accord with divine wisdom. He lived by every word that came from the mouth of God. He resisted the devil, and therefore the devil fled from him. Now that's what the wisdom of God enables us to do. And that, you see, beloved, is why we need wisdom. That's why we need wisdom, in order to patiently endure our testing, to resist the devil, that he may flee from us, to overcome him, and to remain steadfast and faithful. Now that answers the second question that we raised at the beginning of the sermon. What does James mean by wisdom? I want to look very briefly at the third question. How do we obtain wisdom? We know why we need wisdom. Without it, there's no hope of salvation. We know what James means by wisdom. He defines it for us in chapter 3. Now, how do we obtain it? How do we obtain this wisdom? Well, James tells us in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. God is the source of this wisdom. It can be found nowhere else. It ought to be sought in no other and nowhere else. God is the source and giver of this wisdom, and he gives it generously to all without reproach, to all who ask him. Now, in the Old Testament, the great example of one who asked God for wisdom is King Solomon. Solomon prayed for wisdom, and when he did, God gave it to him. God granted it to him generously, without reproach, without reservation, ungrudgingly. And James assures us here that God will, in like manner, give wisdom to us, just as he gave it to Solomon. God will give it generously to all, and he will do so without reproach. God will generously give us all that we need to remain steadfast under testing and obtain the crown of life. Now, verse 6, James goes on to say in chapter 1, but let him ask in faith. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask God. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, the doubter here, or the double-minded man, to use James' words, is the one whose friendship, also to use James' words from James chapter 4, verse 4, is divided between God and the world. James says in James 4, verse 4, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So you're either a friend of the world and an enemy of God, or a friend of God and an enemy of the world. A double-minded man is one whose allegiance or loyalty is divided between God and the world. He does not serve God. He does not serve the Lord with an undivided heart. He does not have an undivided friendship with God, but he tries to be friends of God and friends with the world. He tries to serve two masters. Now, James is warning us not to be like such a double-minded person. And James is calling us to serve the Lord rather with a single-minded devotion, to forsake the world and to seek the things that are above. We cannot be like a double-minded man that is like waves in a storm-tossed sea driven to and fro by the wind, but rather must be firmly and wholeheartedly committed to the Lord and love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our lives cannot be governed by both kinds of wisdom. Our lives cannot be governed by the wisdom that comes from above and the wisdom that comes from Satan. It's governed by one or the other. We must forsake the wisdom from below for the wisdom from above and seek the kind of wisdom that leads to glory. That's what James is telling us to do in chapter 1.